Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Warp!
So I feel like this week we should start by backpedaling.
Don't ever look back, Brad. Always forward.
Yeah, yeah. And I should just let it go.
Let it go.
Well, okay. So the name of our previous episode, for those of you who actually do pay attention to the names, was Always Leave Frozen, because I went on a little bit of a rant at the end of the last episode, you know, saying that if you give us three attraction names, I'm always going to leave Frozen. And here's the thing. After thinking about that, that's not actually the case. That's not actually the case, because I don't have a problem with the Frozen attraction.
Right. Your problem is with its location, yes?
Exactly. Exactly. It is 100%, 110% its location. I have, you know, there's some Disneyana, you know, vintage, retro, whatever you want to call it, aspect that makes me wish that Maelstrom was still there. But at the end of the day, it wasn't like Maelstrom was a must-visit attraction for me every time I was there. What it comes down to at the end of the day is, you're putting something not Norway in Norway, and you're putting a, you know, attraction where the attraction doesn't belong. So I want to back off of that statement a little bit, because I know that it came out a little super negative, and say that my vote would probably be remake, because we discussed that remake would allow us to place the attraction elsewhere, which was the same argument that I had for Extraterrestrial Encounter. That would be the argument that I would have for Frozen. So yes, I don't hate Frozen, the attraction. I strongly dislike the positioning of Frozen, the attraction.
It belongs in Fantasyland, right?
Kind of. I think it belongs at Disney Hollywood Studios. I think it belongs in Pixar Place.
But it's not a Pixar movie.
But it still belongs there more than it belongs in Fantasyland.
Well, okay. I mean, I know that you feel strongly about classics being in Fantasyland.
Yeah, but it's not a classic either.
No, that's what I'm saying.
You were trying to get me to, yeah. No, so
no,
I
honestly thought you thought it belonged in Fantasyland. I vehemently disagree that it belongs in Pixar Place, but I can see where it would be in Hollywood Studios for sure.
Well, and that's what I was about to say. I don't mean like Pixar Place proper. I mean in that area, I feel like is where it should go. Because again, if we work under the assumption that at some point Disney Hollywood Studios, and I would say even in the current one, that's where, you know, because you've got even right now you've got Ariel over there in that area and everything, you know, because I definitely don't feel like it fits down Sunset.
No,
because
it
doesn't make sense there. It doesn't to me, but of course nothing makes sense on the other side of the park. As far as consistency and cohesiveness of the park, doesn't make any sense over there. That seems like the kind of area where it would be. So, yeah, you know, that if it was in Disney's Hollywood Studios, I think I wouldn't have an issue with it. In fact, I think I would be a lot more behind it than I am. But again, it is strictly the location. It is not the attraction. I do not have a Frozen on my hit list. But what I do have on my hit list is the fact that the Jingle Cruise will be returning this holiday season. That's on my hit list. Because I'm sorry, but that, and again, I know it sounds negative, but I just feel like there could be so much more done there. You know, it feels so half-hearted the way that they've just kind of slapped, you know, a couple of overlays on the boats, have slapped some Christmas hats on some of the audio animatronics and whatnot, and said, oh, there you go, that's Christmas. Now it's the Jingle Cruise.
See, this makes no sense to me, because you are a fan of Haunted Mansion Holiday, which I understand is a better overlay, but I feel like it's just more of slapping overlays on.
It is, but it's well done. I don't really have a problem with the overlay. I have a problem with when the overlay is done poorly, which is what it is in Jingle Cruise.
Anyone who has listened to our show for any amount of time knows that we disagree on Haunted Mansion Holiday, because I find Haunted Mansion Holiday to be very poorly done. But That's neither here nor there. We're hating on Jingle Cruise right now because
But we can both come together to hate on Jingle Cruise, right?
Jingle Cruise is a waste, I think.
Yes, and now here's something else I will say about Haunted Mansion Holiday. I feel kind of bad for people who that's their first encounter with Haunted Mansion is, you know. But as for somebody who's been to Haunted Mansion a lot, I enjoy something fresh, which, you know what, is another reason I don't like Jingle Cruise, because Jingle Cruise is not a new experience from Jungle Cruise in no way, shape, or form.
Right.
So, again, I'm not saying don't do Jingle Cruise. I'm saying if you're going to do Jingle Cruise, make it right.
Make it something that is different than Jungle Cruise.
Yes, yes.
Not just change to Christmas puns and have a Santa hat on a hippopotamus.
Yeah, yeah. That is not. I don't know what that isn't, but it's not Disney to me. You know,
it's not worth all the trouble.
Yes, yeah. Like, why are you going through all this trouble, and why are you somehow sullying the Jungle Cruise experience for people who've never been on that before, and think that Jingle Cruise is, you know, a accurate representation of the Jungle Cruise.
Right. I totally agree. Totally agree.
So, yeah, Frozen, good, bad location. Jingle Cruise, bad, bad, bad. So now I can back off of that statement next week. You know, I've already created something nice that I can, you know, letter from the editor for next week, as I can back off Jingle Cruise when people really get on to me about how much they love the Jingle. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I don't think there's that many people who love the Jingle Cruise. So now that we've gotten my apology to Frozen and my, you know, tarring and feathering of Jingle Cruise out of the way, let's discuss this. So Hipmunk.com, which is a travel site, did a comparison of Walt Disney World and Disneyland and said that they found that for a family of four, it was actually, so this is a family of four, 4 day, four nights with tickets, flight, hotel. It's actually cheaper to go to Walt Disney World, they say.
Does this surprise you?
Yes. Well, yes. Yes. Yeah, yes, it does. But I think I know why it surprises me, and now it doesn't surprise me as much. But the initial thing, definitely when they said it's $250 cheaper over 4 days and four nights to go to Walt Disney World compared to Disneyland, I was like, say what? But yes, I'm less surprised now. But you apparently were not surprised?
Does not. No. It does not surprise me one bit. Because two things. And so Hipmunk, their article did compare on-site and off-site. If it's okay with you, I just want to talk about on-site.
Okay.
Stay, like hotels. Let's just talk about on-site hotels and say that at Walt Disney World and at Disneyland, off-site hotels can be had from anywhere from $100 to, you know, you can stay for $400 a night.
I think you can stay like off-site Walt Disney World. I feel like you can probably stay off-site there for, you know, $50, $60 a night.
So,
and still be main gate.
Suffice to say, it's very, very cheap to stay off-site. At either park, you can stay right across the street from the main gates at Disneyland for $100 a night. And I would recommend the Best Western Plus Park Place Inn. It's a nice hotel. And it's right there. Very cheap right there. It's a, what do they call it? Partner.
Is it a good neighbor hotel?
Good neighbor hotel.
Or is that what it is at Walt Disney World?
No, that's at least what it is at Disneyland. But
okay.
Just suffice to say, you can cheap stays can be had off-site. So when you're talking about on-site hotels,
then it's not surprising at all.
It is not surprising at all. Because Disneyland, the cheapest hotel that you can stay at, I believe, is the Disneyland Hotel. That starts at $400 a night?
Actually, according to Hipmunk, and again, now I think they were like averaging prices and stuff, and they came up with $423 for Paradise Pier and $552 for Disneyland Hotel, and then topping out the $620 Grand Californian.
Right.
And that's per night, by the way, folks. That's not your four-night stay. That's per night.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you look at Disneyland's annual passes, which for the what they call the deluxe annual passport, which is 315 days of admission, which means that 50 days a year, you're not allowed to go, is $550. And then for the premium one that gives you access every day is $780. So that, you know, by itself seems okay. But then you look at Disney World's annual pass. That is no blackouts, admission to all the parks, free parking for $650.
Yeah, but we've talked about this before. It's totally different economics. And actually, looking at the tickets now, again, I don't know what Hipmunk did because they actually didn't say. They said four theme park tickets for 4 days. So I don't know if this includes Park Hopper, any of that kind of stuff. I'm assuming it's probably base 1 day, one park.
Probably
at both. It's actually. They were actually showing it $170 cheaper at Disneyland. So yes, while the annual passes are more expensive at Disneyland, the 1 day, one park tickets are cheaper at Disneyland right now than Walt Disney World.
Yeah. The only thing that I was trying to, portray is that things are generally more expensive at Disneyland. Not to mention that it's in Southern California and, Disney World is in Central Florida. And so inherently everything's going to be more expensive. But I have always, since I've been old enough to have to plan and pay for vacations, I've always found it to be, on the whole, actually more expensive than Hipmunk said in comparison to Disney World, to go to Disneyland.
Okay, but now, and this is where Hipmunk and I differ, and this is why I feel like that it's kind of surprised me that Walt Disney World was more expensive than Disneyland or was cheaper than Disneyland. Here's what it is. When you're staying at Walt Disney World, I do not consider an offsite hotel at Walt Disney World. I just won't do it because if I go stay at an offsite hotel at Walt Disney World, I'm either going to have to A, take my own vehicle and then pay for parking or, you know, get something where, you know, whatever I'm going to have to do to try to get around the whole parking issue, or I'm going to have to take the hotel shuttles. And the hotel shuttles, if someone has had good experiences with them, that's awesome. I have heard so many horror stories from guests when I was working there, from, you know, reading forums and stuff. And I know there's a few diamond in the rough type places there, but compared to Walt Disney transportation, again, Walt Disney transportation is not perfect all the time, but they are very good. That Walt Disney transportation just overall to me is much better than anything offsite. So I'm not going to stay offsite when I go to Walt Disney World. So in my mind, the cheapest hotel you're going to get when you're at Walt Disney World, it doesn't get any cheaper in my mind than, you know, that $100 and some odd a night for an All-Stars, you know. But in comparison, if I'm talking about Disneyland, then I'm seeing, you know, those $100, $90 if you might go off season, $80 if you go off season, I don't know. You know, for those non-Disney hotels. And I'm totally okay with that because, again, like we said, the non-Disney stay hotels there are going to be, like, right across the street. I'm actually going to be able to walk. In some cases, I feel like they're closer than, you know, or, you know, at least as convenient as the actual Disney hotels. And so, to me, a non-Disney hotel at Disneyland is the equivalent of All-Stars in some way at Walt Disney World, and they're cheaper. So that's where I kind of, you know, that's was my comparison. I think, you know, there's that expectation of value there where, to me, again, maybe an unpopular statement, but to me, a non-Disney hotel in Orlando has no value, whereas the ones at Disneyland are valuable to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, again, totally different because, yeah, Walt Disney World is kind of a complex. You know, you enter the gate and, you know, we've talked about there are no other hotels and there are no other gas stations, you know, and there's no nothing. You come in there and you're just kind of in this little bubble, a cocoon, if you will, of Disney magic.
Yes.
Disneyland is in the middle of Anaheim, California. And it is impossible for them to create that cocoon in the middle of downtown Anaheim. But, you know, you said it's closer to stay at an offsite hotel. And unless you're staying for $600 a night at the Grand Californian, It is absolutely closer. Grand Californian.
You can walk into California Adventure, right?
Yeah. It's got an exit and entrance from the hotel right into DCA. They've got ticket things there and everything. But the Disneyland Hotel and Paradise Pier, though they're not like super far from the park, they're like a good 15-20 minute walk from the gate. And I'll just say the Best Western, because that's where I stayed when I went. You cross Harbor Boulevard, and the light that you cross at is the light for the Disneyland main gate.
Right. And so that's the thing, is that to me is why to some extent, you know, especially this little Hipmunk made this, you know, really pretty infographic and says Disney World wins on price, saving you $1,000 when you stay in a Disney resort. And again, to me, those are just apples and oranges resorts, because Disney will never build, I don't think, will ever build an all-star level resort at Disneyland, because why? That's what the Best Western is over there for.
They don't have to. They had to build all-star music and all-star sports and art of animation and everything. They had to build those. They had to, in the campgrounds. You will never see a campground at Disneyland, because they don't need a budget option at Disneyland the way that they do at Walt Disney World. And yeah, you are totally right. When you average the prices of hotels at Disneyland, you know, you get $500. When you average the price of hotels at Walt Disney World, you get closer to $300 to $400. You know, because there are so many cheap ones. Even the moderates are $160 a night, you know, ish. And then the Polynesian Village and the Contemporary and the Grand Floridian, those are very expensive. But
I mean, you're still talking about like the Poly, you know, Hipmunk has on here for like $450, which is still only just more expensive than the low end or the lowest Disney resort in Disneyland.
Right. The lowly Disneyland hotel.
Yes, which is still a deluxe resort, or would be at Walt Disney World, I think.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, that's how it is. With Disneyland right in the middle of Anaheim, every hotel company has pretty much taken the budget, the budget sector for them. And they have, with the Good Neighbor thing, they have pretty much told you, these are the hotels that we approve of. You know, these are the ones that, you know, if you're going to stay and you can't afford to stay at the Disneyland Hotel, try one of these Good Neighbor ones, you know.
Because they gave us a payoff. I mean,
right. Well, and that's fine. I mean, that's okay for Best Western and some of those other ones, especially on Harbor Boulevard, to go up to them and say, hey, if you'll tell people to stay here and because it's cheap, you know, we'll give you a cut or whatever. I think that's okay, because there's not a Disney option.
Yes.
You know, and so Disney is cool because, like, if there were no hotels, if it was a Disney World scenario at Disneyland and there were no offsite hotels and I either had to pay $400 or I had to rent a car, I just wouldn't go.
Right. You wouldn't put up with, you're not going to put up with California traffic, and you're not going to stay at $400 a night lodging.
Right. And it would seem hostile by Disney to me. You know, I would be like, well, you don't care. You know, what you're saying is, this is for rich people. And if you can't afford it, then, I mean, you can make do. But because they have this Good Neighbor program and they have anointed these cheaper hotels and said, you know, these are good, these are fine, these are the ones that are close, and we recommend these if you can't afford to stay at the Disneyland Hotel, I think that's okay. And I don't think that Disney ever has to say, you know, here's the new art of animation or whatever. You know, they don't have to do that the way that Universal has in both California and Orlando with their cheaper hotels. Like, they have made it a point to have on property cheap hotels, I guess, as a differentiator. But I don't think Disney in California needs to do that.
Right. Yeah. Because they've built up, or around them has been built, a thriving, you know, hotel industry. So they don't have that necessity. But again, you know, that's just what, and that's why I'm not saying that I thought Disneyland was cheaper, but I guess I thought they were either like right about, and here's the thing, it was like a $250 difference, I think, at the end of the day.
Right.
Which is kind of the same thing.
That article's a real bummer when you get to the end and you see the disparity between the two. I mean, it's like, then you'll save $200.
Right.
Oh,
but then,
okay.
But again, then they go, you know, but you'll save $1,000 if you want to stay with Disney. And yeah, that's where I take a little bit of a, you're talking about apples and oranges here. If we were to take only the deluxe resorts at Walt Disney World, it would probably be a lot closer than what, you know, they figured on here.
Right. It would still be cheaper to stay at Walt Disney World, but not by much. You know, the Grand Floridian is only maybe $100 cheaper a night than the Grand Californian. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, $300 to $400 cheaper if you're doing just the deluxe resorts. So,
right.
It's kind of unfair, but it still didn't surprise me that Disneyland was more expensive because everything is more expensive there.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of funny to me that I was like, "Oh, dude, this is totally insane. We've got to talk about this." There is, you know, there I don't feel like they're being fair to Disneyland here. And you know, it's not like I want to make this argument because I want Disneyland to be cheaper because I want to go to Disneyland. Giving me the option, even, you know, say you flip the script and Disneyland was $250 cheaper than Walt Disney World. Guess what? Walt Disney World is the park that I prefer. And therefore, I will spend, you know, if my wife goes, hey, do you want to go to Disneyland or Walt Disney World this year? I'm going to say, I want to go to Walt Disney World. You know, and others are going to say Disneyland, and that's totally cool. But yeah, it's not some argument that's coming from a place of I have to justify what I feel like is the, you know, better purchase here. It's just, I don't know about that because you guys aren't quite making the, I don't feel like it's a totally fair comparison, again, to be comparing those non-Disney hotels and trying to say, oh yeah, that's totally an apples to apples comparison, because I'm sorry, but it's not. And so if you read this article and go, oh, it's $250 cheaper if I go to Walt Disney World and I stay in a offsite resort, it again, you have to decide what your time is worth to you
and your stress.
Yeah, and you know, that doesn't even take into account that, you know what, you know what they'll say, well, I guess you're gonna have to rent a car either way, or I guess you could take a cab from the airport, but who would really want to do that?
Well,
especially if you're staying offsite.
There's at Disneyland, you can get for $70. It costs $70 for two people round trip to and from the airport in Santa Ana. So you build $70 into your Disneyland trip to get from the airport to your hotel and back.
Right. Whereas you can do Magical Express for the low price of free plus whatever you feel like you need to tip the driver at the end.
Are you supposed to tip him?
Did you not know you're supposed to tip the DME driver?
No.
Don't they still have the sign up there that tells you that, you know, I feel like the last two or, you know, the last at least two times that I've gone, I've used DME, and they had a little sign ups talking about tipping the driver. Now, no, the very last time we went, we actually rented a car. But yeah, before that, there's been a sign up saying that you should tip your DME driver.
Dude, did you know you're supposed to tip the hotel maid service?
Yes.
I had no idea. I've not been tipping anyone, and I feel terrible about it right now.
Well, but remember that a tip is supposed to be just an extra gratuity, and it's not.
Oh my gosh, I am a terrible human being. I need to apologize to every person who's ever driven me on Magical Express and taken care of my hotel room.
So did you actually get the little hotel room, the little animals day after day? Or did you get them for like the first day or two and then suddenly they stopped?
Oh my gosh, dude, it was just the first day.
See? Now you know what happens when you don't tip.
Oh man.
As a disclaimer, I'm pretty sure Disney's going to do that either way. You know, I really don't think they're taking the time to write down, you know, room 407 didn't tip. So whoever happens to clean that the next day, be sure not to leave them an animal. But it is awfully convenient that you only got yours the first day.
Yeah, it makes sense. It fits this. I'm a terrible human being. Little story we're
weaving
here.
That narrative is working here. Yeah, I don't know. They may have changed the rules on that because, you know, I know Disney's kind of about them asking for tips for stuff. So they may have, you know, made it to where the DME drivers can't have that little sign up. But I could have sworn that my DME driver had a sign up and made a point of telling us that he had a sign up. So, At that point, I felt like the tip was a little bit less a tip and more like a, I don't know, kind of like one of those suggested donations before you walk into the museum or something.
Right.
Where they go ahead and tell you exactly how much they suggest you donate per person, and this much if your child is under 10. But still, absolutely, just a suggestion. We won't let you in, but just a suggestion. Yeah, so tip your DME driver, tip your, again, I honestly feel like, and oh my gosh, maid service is going to be horrible for me next time I go. I don't think that housekeeping is as necessary that you tip, but yeah, the DME drivers apparently think it's a requirement that you should tip, or at least the one that I got did.
Oh boy.
Yep. So
I feel so bad. I'm so sorry.
I now know the title for this episode, Jeremy Don't Tip.
Well, as I go and, review all of my life's choices now. That'll be it for this episode. We have a new website. We have a new website at missingthemouse.co. We have embedded players now for all of our episodes, so you can actually go to missingthemouse.co and play our episode directly from the website.
If you don't want to subscribe every week and you just want to listen to an episode here and there, just follow us on Twitter. We are MTM Podcast, or you can now visit our Facebook.com/MTM Podcast. So just remember MTM Podcast. When you see one that sounds interesting to you, come to our website, listen to the episode, and maybe eventually you'll give us a subscribe.
And props to Brad. He set all that up. Brad is a real, real nice guy. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.